I'm delighted to welcome back to the LSE the Honourable Jordi Pujol, President of the Autonomous Government of Catalonia. He was elected to this post in 1980, re-elected in 1984, 1988, 1992, and 1995, a truly remarkable record. Jordi Pujol was born in Barcelona, and from 1946 onwards, he was active in the resistance to General Franco. In the 1960s, he worked on the creation of the cultural, economic, and social infrastructure of Catalonia, which was vital for the country's needs, but something which the official institutions had not established. His work included founding a bank, compiling a Catalan encyclopedia, as well as numerous other educational and cooperative ventures, which contributed to the preservation of the Catalan language and culture during the Franco dictatorship. President Pujol's work has been crucial for the establishment of Catalan autonomy. In 1974, he founded the Democratic Conversion of Catalonia. After becoming elected president in 1980, he and his team worked on recreating structures of government which had not existed for 40 years, activating and exercising the powers which had been conferred to Catalonia once the Spanish democratization process was set in motion and the autonomous communities system established primarily to respond to the nationalist claims of Catalans and Basques. During the mid-1980s, when these essential foundations had been laid, he was able to direct the process of modernizing Catalonia in education, an object of special concern to his government, in industry, agriculture, and by opening up Catalan society to international influences. In the late 1980s and early 1990s, he focused on cultural identity, competitiveness, social welfare, and Catalonia's image abroad, all very relevant themes, I think, to the United Kingdom today. I think it fair to say that he anticipated some of the concerns which, through Tony Blair, have now entered British politics, perhaps later in the day. As a pro-European, Jordi Pujol was concerned as early as 1980 with preparing Catalan society for European integration. His pro-Europeanism has always had a strongly regionalist content, and he served for two terms as President of the Assembly of the European Regions. Jordi Pujol has written extensively on the need to protect and encourage regional identity in an era of globalization. His contribution to the development of the European Union is based upon the idea that nations such as Catalonia can develop their own national identity and culture without seeking independence if democratic channels of participation are established. This evening, President Pujol will lecture on states, regions, and transnational organizations, or that's what it says here. He told me in a previous conversation that he may lecture on something else. So I'm very happy to welcome him back to the LSE, President Pujol.
Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I would like to thank you and the London School of Economics to thank you for your invitation. It is the second time, as Professor Giddens has explained you, that I have had the opportunity to speak here, and I have to say I am very glad to be here. Since the first time I was here, a year and a half ago now, a lot of things happened, no? A lot of water, as you say, has passed under the bridge, and a lot of British water, In May 96, the topic of my address was to the nation when I said, in fact, it was not an exact title, because in fact, I have spoken about Spain. Spain is a plurinational state, but not only of two nations, but more nations. No? The Castilian is the most important nation of Spain, the core of Spain, but then Catalonia, the Basque Country, Galicia. But in fact, the title was this one, and I was telling you about the plurinational character of Spain, the specific nature of Catalonia, and of Catalonia's role in Spain as a whole. And I remember that I began by drawing a couple of comparisons. The first was with Canada. I talked about the recovery of Quebecois identity and acceptance of Quebec's personality by Canada. Canada, I said, was an example of a plurinational state, a binational state in this case. The second comparison was with your country, with the United Kingdom, and I took the liberty of speaking to you about your four formative elements, the English, the Welsh, the Irish, and the Scottish elements. And I was concerned that you would not quite understand the plurinational nature of Spain. I was concerned that you would be muddled about what I had thought of saying about the formative elements of Spain, the kingdoms of Navarre and Castilla, the Basque Country, the Confederation of Aragon, Valencia, Catalonia, and so on. Well, today, I believe that such concern would be groundless. I believe that if there is anyone in Europe at that moment, at this moment, who is perfectly at home with the idea of plurinationality, it is you. The referenda held in September in Scotland and Wales have turned you into experts on the subject. And judging by some organs of the media, into veritable prophets of devolution. I am referring specifically to a recent article in the Economist, whose author declared that devolution was the, or is the, salvation for plurinational states. And the same article, after my speech, you can put me some questions, and I'll be very glad to be able to reply to your question. In this same article of The Economist, and also, for instance, this morning, speaking with some English journalist, I have seen that there is, on the other side, you speak about the salvation for plurinational states, but on the other side, the vision that you have of some aspect of Catalonia, especially from the point of view of our linguistic policy, is somewhat distorted, from my point of view, obviously, and not somewhat unjust. But we can speak about that if you want it after my speech. In any case, in the United Kingdom, you are now beginning an experiment which will constantly be compared with the one that began in Spain 20 years ago, and in which my country, Catalonia, plays one of the most important parts, the most important roles. That is to say, there is still a parallel to be drawn between the plurinational character of the United Kingdom and of Spain, and also a parallel between Catalonia and Scotland, and with Wales, too. But the parallel with Scotland is much clearer, and so that will be my topic. The similarity goes back a long way. In the Middle Ages, as well as afterwards, England sought to conquer and subject all the lands that make up the island of Britain. Pressure on Scotland was heavy in the late 13th century, and Robert the Bruce is the symbol of Scottish resistance against England. Later, England's war with France, after its civil wars, the English Civil Wars, gave Scotland a breathing space, just as the Castilian Civil Wars meant respite for Catalonia as such. And I say as Catalonia as such because Catalonia, which had and has preserved until this day its own historical origin, its own political institutions, its own language, its own law, I repeat, Catalonia such had and has a considerable, had, more exactly, excuse me, a considerable political and economic power that made it a Mediterranean power for 150 years, but it formed part and was an hegemonic part of the Crown of Aragon, which in addition to Catalonia included other lands that now form part of Spain, Aragon, Valencia, the Balearic Islands. Indeed, the whole of the Crown of Aragon, and especially Catalonia, was coveted by Castilla, which also tried to conquer and annex Navarra and Portugal. For example, in the early 14th century, in the time of Robert the Bruce and of Edward II, Castilla was trying to conquer Portugal. But this conquest failed in a very similar way to the way in which Edward II failed at the Battle of Bannockburn. Later, in 1580, Portugal was annexed by Castilla, but in 1640, it recovered its independence with the great support of England. And from the 15th century, the dynasty of the Crown of Aragon and hence of Catalonia was of Castilian origin. Thus, both Scotland and Catalonia maintained their independence, more or less limited, until the beginning of the 18th century. Then they both lost it definitively, Scotland in 77 and Catalonia in 1714. They did not lose it in the same way. Scotland lost it as a result of a vote of the Scottish Parliament, probably with more or less constraint, I suppose, while Catalonia lost it after a long and calamitous war. And the result was not exactly the same. Scotland kept a certain degree of autonomy and was incorporated not into England, but into the United Kingdom. And this implied a degree of recognition of Scotland's own personality and of the plurinational character of the United Kingdom. I repeat, the incorporation was not to England, but to a new body, the United Kingdom. On the contrary, Catalonia, who lost a very, I repeat, very calamitous war, lost all these institutions and was simply integrated, simply incorporated into the Spanish or rather Castile regime, conceived as a very unitary and homogenizing in the model of the French state system. But sometimes history has surprises. In the 18th century, the Scotland that had lost its independence enjoyed a period of great intellectual and literary splendor. And Catalonia began, after centuries of decline, an important demographic, economic, and social recovery. May I, just for a few moments, leave aside the parallel that I have been drawing between Scotland and my country, and speak just of Catalonia, only during a couple of minutes. When it seemed after, I repeat, centuries of decline, and after the loss of the last of its freedoms, and after its submission to an absolute centralism, and after many years of a vigorous persecution of everything that signaled its special identity, when it seemed that Catalonia was finished, a renaissance, I repeat, took place. It was a renaissance from the economic point of view, agriculture, industry, from the social evolution, from the social point of view, and Catalonia became, and it has been very important, it is very important even today, became a middle class country. And that was very particular in the 18th century, because Catalonia made the Industrial Revolution just now, at the end of the 18th century, very soon. And that was also a linguistic and a cultural recovery. And we must always, we Catalans, we must always underline the importance of the language and of the culture and of civil war in the Catalan awareness and in the Catalan consciousness. And also is very important the historical memory. I underline that the basis of Catalan, the Catalan nation, and of the basis of the Catalan nationalism, therefore, is not an ethnic basis, not a religious basis, but a cultural, a linguistic basis. And for this reason, for just now, for instance, we have a sharp discussion with the central government about a question which is the teaching of history. For us, the teaching of history is important, no? Because history is one, I repeat, of the basis, the historical consciousness, the historical memory is very important for the definition of our national identity. And all that, this evolution, economic evolution, social evolution, linguistic, cultural, and so on, our language was almost dead, no? Was recovered. All that has produced a political movement who claimed the national rights of Catalonia. And this political movement succeeded in obtaining a home rule, not a very complete and very important home rule, but a first home rule during the second Spanish Republic in the 30s. We lost that after the end of the Civil War, and we have recovered this home rule, and I think a bit better now in 1977. Well, that is very shortly the history. I must add to that this recovery of the autonomy of the home rule of Catalonia was made also in the framework of all the political transition of Spain to democracy. And one of the aspects of this transition has been not only the democratic change, but also the fact, the introduction in Spain of the concept of regionalism and of the autonomies for all the regions of Spain. Even the regions who had not a very specific personality without an own language or culture or civil law, but the fact is that in Spain there was a process of generalization of the home rules, and so we have today in Spain not only the autonomies of the historical nations of Spain, Catalonia, Basque Country, Galicia, but of all the regions we have 17 autonomous communities. The parallel that we can, the parallel with the situation in Great Britain, for instance, would be that now not only Scotland would have a home rule or devolution, not only Scotland and Wales, but also Sussex and Essex and West Hampshire and the Midlands and so on and so on and so on. And, well, you smile, and I understand very well that you smile. And at this moment, in fact, the autonomy for several of the regions of Spain was imposed. They wanted not to. Today it is different. Today they have, during 20 years, they have had the home rule, they have been able to take their own decisions, and now they want the autonomy. Now they would be very, they will react very with violence when now someone would propose to withdraw the autonomies of all these regions. But at this moment, that happens so. In fact, this generalization of the autonomies was, in reality, it was a maneuver to dilute the claims of the two counties that really demanded an important autonomy. These two counties were Catalonia and the Basque country. I would speak later again about that, but that is till today, till now, the history that he wanted to explain to you. Well, it is true that this generalization of the autonomies has not been positive for Catalonia, in spite of the fact that the balance of the Catalan autonomy is good. I will explain you that later. But it is also true that for Spain, this generalization of regionalism and of home rules has been positive, because that has released a great amount of energies. They has increased the capacity of people to take initiatives. They have released a great degree of creativeness. This creativeness, this capacity of initiative, this energy, they could not emerge in a very centralized country. And people were obliged, through this regionalization now, 20 years ago, were obliged to assume more responsibility. People were obliged to decide. During centuries, the decisions all were taken in Madrid, no? And it was all, no? But people were not obliged to take responsibilities, were not obliged to decide. And now, yes. And that is a great richness for a country. And the balance for Spain, we will come back later to the question of Catalonia, but balance for Spain is very positive. For instance, yesterday, I was in a medieval Spanish city, one of the smallest provincial chief towns of Spain, no? Probably the smallest, Avila. It is a medieval city, no? Well, Avila, that is a part of Castilla, and Avila and Castilla are not one of the more developed countries of Spain. But nevertheless, I will explain you two points that I have delivered yesterday. The first one is that the president of the region of Castilla-León was with me, and he explained to me that he had organized just now a trip with several businessmen of the region to Mexico, in this case. Well, some years ago, it was not possible to imagine that. No? It was not possible to think that someone in this part of Spain would organize a trip with businessmen. No? To Mexico. And that happens very, very, very often. No, there had been this new organization of Spain has multiplied several times, this sort of initiatives. And that is a great richness for our country. Not to attend always to what in Madrid, in the chief town of the state, will be decided, but to decide themselves as well. And that also, obviously, has helped very much all the people, not only the people of Madrid or of Catalonia, and so on, the most developed countries of Spain, but all the people to widen their mind. No? Very important. The richness of a country are the people, our people. No? Well, in this case, in this sense, the regionalization has been very positive. Another example, also yesterday in Avila, no? Well, I have seen, I knew Avila, and I have seen that some very important changes happened during these last years. For instance, the restoration of historical buildings. During centuries or during decades, these buildings were abandoned, but more and more a wreck, no? Palaces, churches, and so on. Well, now, the government of Castilla alone has made a great effort of restoration of these historical buildings. They are used for the administration, or they are used for setting up hotels in the old palaces of old noble families that they have bought and they have restored. No, that is important. That is important. That was not made by the central government. During decades and decades, it has been made by the regional government. That is important because it is important to restore a wreck and to transform that in a new and really in a very beautiful hotel, for instance. You know, that is important from the point of view of the identity of Avila and of Castilla in this case, and of the point of view of the pride of the population, no? The pride of the population. And this regionalization, this general regionalization, has had this very, very important and positive effect. And I remember now that what a very important sociologist of the United States, Daniel Bell, explained once about the regionalization. He said that regionalization was good from the point of view of efficiency, not from the point of view of a romantic feeling. No? That it was not a movement, an historical movement regarding to the past. No? From the point of efficiency, said Daniel Bell, because he said, and it has been repeated very often, and probably you have heard that he said, there are many things, more and more things in Europe, for instance, that cannot be resolved on the level of the state. And the state is too small for resolving many questions. I know very well that in Great Britain you have not the same ideas about the monetary union as we have in Catalonia, for instance, and generally in the continental countries of Europe. But nevertheless, we believe, and Daniel Bell believes, that many questions of the monetary policy, for instance, cannot be resolved by a state, even if this state is Germany or it is France. Too small for that, no? Too small. And on the other side, there are questions that the states are too great for resolving that. And sometimes it is necessary, says Bell, that these questions must be, the solution of these questions must be transferred to the region. Obviously, the states will continue to be important in Europe. The unification of Europe is made and will be made on the basis of the states that we have today. But there are many points, many subjects that cannot be resolved by the states because they are too small. And then there are other questions, social questions, questions related to education, to housing, to agriculture, to sport, to culture, etc., to social initiative, that can be resolved much better by the region because the states are too great. For instance, the restoration of these palaces of Avila has never been resolved by the central Spanish government. It has been resolved by the regional government, because the regional government is more close to all these questions, and it is more able to collect all the energies and the resources which are necessary for this initiative. In Europe, regionalism is slowly, but is growing, no? Slowly accepted, more and more accepted, slowly, but more and more accepted. I don't know if that is the case of the United States, that till today has been a very centralized state. No? But it is not my job to speak about the United Kingdom. United Kingdom, excuse me. You have understood. You have understood. It was United Kingdom, not United States. No? Well, but we believe that Europe will be built as a union on the three levels, on the basis of three pillars. No? The states, I repeat, the states will transfer partially their powers to the European Union, and then inside of the states, for the point for reasons of efficiency and of recognition of this the personality of the regions, there will be also a transfer of power from the states to the regions. And so it will be also perhaps possible to resolve another question, and I know that you in the United Kingdom are discussing that now. You say that one of the handicaps of the European Union is that the Union is not enough close to people. No? Obviously, through the introduction of the regional power, power as a whole, power generically is closer to people. And another question that can be obtained, can be attained through the regions is more social cohesion. The political cohesion must be assumed by the states, but the social cohesion, the gathering of human resources, of energies that can be done very well by the regions, I believe better in small spaces than in very great spaces. Today, for instance, during these last years, we have seen that after the crisis that was a consequence of the fall of the wall in 1988, no? all the countries of the in Central and Eastern Europe, they are obliged to make a great effort, no? And you have seen that just the medium-sized or the small-sized countries have been able to go ahead much better than the very, very, very great countries. That is the case of Estonia, that is the case of the Czech Republic, that is the case of Slovenia, and so on. In Western Europe, we have now a very impressive example of a country that through this capacity for the collecting all the energies and for creating social cohesion, it has been able to go ahead very, very, very strongly. It is, for instance, also the case of Ireland. And if you speak of not of states but of regions, the Länder in Germany, they have given the proof that since 1950 more or less that the administration of the Länder. Of the Länder has been, from the point of view of the industrial development, for instance, and even for the projection of this Länder to the world, to the continents, to Asia, to America, and so on, has been very, very, very efficient. And now we have the same case. I was speaking, we're discussing that 2 months ago with the Prime Minister of Italy, Prodi, and he explained to me, for instance, what is the evolution of the regions of northern Italy, especially of northeast Italy, in Veneto, no, Veneto, Friuli, Udine, excuse me because I must change my chip from the Italian to the English. Well, bene, bel. No, and in Flanders, for instance, and also I think some French regions that have been able to be accepted as regions by the central government and to have their own policy. For instance, Lorraine, for instance, it is a very, 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 very positive example of that. And I think that even the case of Catalonia is in this sense a positive example. I repeat, it is not my job, and it would be probably not correct to speak about this question related to the United Kingdom. But generally, in Europe, I believe that I can underline that this regional evolution has been very positive, not only politically or from the point of view of the identities, but also from the point of view of efficiency. I have told you that, in spite of that, that very positive balance of regionalization in Europe and especially in Spain. Spain is today one of the most regionalized states of Europe. In spite of that, for us, for Catalonia, and also for Basque Country, this generalization has not been very positive. But I think that honestly, I must say that it has been positive for Spain as a whole. In this framework of Spain, we must try to go ahead, and we go ahead, but it is true that some of our problems cannot be well resolved because we are obliged to be at the same level of some bodies, of political bodies, the regions, which have another degree of consciousness, of identity, of even of possibilities in all the matters. No? Well, I come back now to Catalonia and to Scotland, I repeat, not as regions, but as nations without their own state, but developing their personality in the frame, I repeat, of a wider state. And underline that Catalonia, the experience of Catalonia, in spite of all that I have told you, of the handicaps that for us are this generalization of the autonomies in Spain, that in spite of that, it is true, and I am very glad to be able to tell that the experience has been positive. It has been positive from the point of view of our consciousness and of our pride as nation. It has been positive from the point of view of our civic life, and it has been positive from the point of view of our economic activity. I have read in a British paper that there was a discussion between Mr. Dewar, the Secretary for Scotland, and some people, some representatives of the economic activities of the economic life in Scotland, a discussion about the people of the economic world, they believe that they fear that the devolution and the home rule can be negative for the economic activity in Scotland. The Catalan experience says that it is not true, that can also be very positive from the point of view of the economy. Our economy is growing well, is growing better than the Spanish economy, is growing better now than the European economy, and we have been able to modernize the country and to project the country all around the world. Obviously, I want not to give a lesson here about what must be done now in the United Kingdom, especially in Scotland. Obviously not. I only can explain you what we are doing, and perhaps that can be more or less useful. The first point that I want to underline is to explain you what sort of nationalism we the Catalans, we have. And obviously, it is not easy, and I suppose it is not possible to translate that exactly to other countries, for instance, to Scotland. But in any case, perhaps it is interesting to know that for us, nationalism must have three elements. The three claims, perhaps, or three goals. The first one is the identity. In our case, language, culture, civil right, traditional institutions, historical institutions, and so on. The second is the civic project. We must use the nationalism for the construction or for the creation of a strong and dynamic structure of the society. Strong and dynamic structure from the economic point of view, from the cultural point of view, from the social point of view. Identity, civic project, and third point, political project. We must have a political, we have a political project for obtaining a large project that must enable us to obtain a large home rule, that means power, political and economic power, and at the end, a high degree of self-government. Also, I repeat, identity, civic project, and a political project. It would not be enough to have only, to defend only an identity. Identity, but also the future, civic project, political project. And for what to attain these scopes, we have the National Catalan Movement. And I will, at the end of my speech, I want to tell you some of the specificities or the characteristics of this national movement. The first one is the modernity. In contrast with certain other countries, the modern Catalan consciousness was awakened by, and not in opposition to, was awakened by modernization. Catalonia, in the last century, rediscovered itself as a distinct entity as a result of its urban and its economic and its industrial development in a context that was, in Spain, was dominated by structures, attitudes, and belonging to a pre-industrial society. And one of the great scopes of Catalan nationalism has been the modernization of our country, of Catalonia. And we have also tried to introduce this goal of modernization to Spain as a whole. Second point of our nationalism, of our Catalan nationalism, is that we are a moderate movement, a moderate nationalism. Moderate from the point of view that we are not secessionist. In any case, the majority of the Catalan national movement is not secessionist. We have a minority that, yes, they want to separate Catalonia from Spain, but the great majority of this national movement is not separatist. In this sense, we are moderate. Moderate, that means not that we are not struggling very strongly for our identity. For instance, they repeat today, one of the problems that we are discussing with the central government is question of money, no? Of finance and budgets and so on and so on and so on. But, and that is very serious, central government does not understand, and many Spaniards don't understand, then the problem of Catalonia is not a question of money. It is a question of feeling. For instance, for me, as a leader of a Catalan movement and as president of Catalonia, it's more difficult to convince our people that we must cooperate with a government in Madrid. And it's more difficult to convince them of that if we have a problem relate, for instance, to the Catalan or the Spanish anthem, or related to the teaching of history, then if we are discussing some billions more or less of pesetas, no? That is important. But moderate means that does not mean that we are not really decided to struggle fiercely for that with our identity, our feeling, the anthem, the history, obviously the language, culture, and so on. And we are also moderate in another sense, in the sense that the Catalan national movement is a centrist movement. I have explained to you that Catalonia is a country with a very strong middle class, and that means that the movement is politically and socially a centrist movement. We are very favorable to the welfare state, for instance, and at the same time we understand that you must combine this welfare state with a strong and competitive economy. And in this sense, Mr. Professor Gidnes, we are following with great interest what you, I mean Britain, will do during the next month and years in these subjects, competitiveness combined with welfare state. No? In any case, I repeat, in this sense also, we are a moderate movement. Another point that I must underline from the Catalan national movement is that we have a chief scope, and not whole identity, but cohesion. Cohesion of a country is absolutely necessary. And for this reason, it is so important not the fight or the struggle for identity, but also for a civic project. We need a civic project. Because a country, especially a country with not enough political power, and we have not enough political power, needs absolutely be able to, people must be able to live together. Living together, no? Living together. Be able to live together. That is absolutely necessary. Cohesion. We are a country with a great amount, a great percentage of immigration of Spain, and we must integrate these people. It's absolutely necessary, this cohesion, no? We are not, Catalonia is not a country in a corner. It is not a country in an extreme position in Europe, no? It is, in fact, it is a corridor, no? People go, visit us, come to us, remain in Catalonia. During centuries, my family, 300 years ago, came from southern France and so on. Therefore, we are trained in this sense, and that is good just at this moment in which not only Catalonia and Spain, but Europe is has the great challenge of perhaps become a multicultural body. Well, you have been always obliged to make a great effort of integration. Therefore, the national movement, the chief, one of the chief scopes is the cohesion of the country. And for the reason for us, that was important is the jus solis, not the jus sanguinis. And for this reason also, we are not, the basis of our movement is not ethnicity, but language and culture, and especially the will to be, the will to be Catalan. Our definition of Catalan is Catalan is a person who lives and works in Catalonia and wants to be Catalan. Nothing of birthplace and so on, to walks and lives in Catalonia and wants to be Catalan. Well, another point, another important point of our national movement is that we are, and you have in your introduction, you have explained that very well, very pro-European minded. No? We have been always very pro-European. We have always been very pro-European, even when Spain was not pro-European, because Spain as a whole has been not been pro-European. Only since the last 20, 25 years in Spain, Spain has decided to try to to be integrated fully in Europe. And Spain is succeeding very well. But it is a very recent scope of Spain. On the contrary, Catalonia, during all its history, has been orientated to Europe, and has tried, even when during centuries Spain was living in the outskirts of Europe, was more or less outside of the core of Europe, you have tried to maintain our links, our connection with Europe. And for this reason, we are today very, very glad to see that Spain as a whole is following also in this same direction. And finally, and the last point that I want to underline of the Catalan national movement is that we are obviously our priority is our national identity, but we want also to be present in a very positive way in the Spanish policy, and we are a Spanish reformist. We have tried always, especially during this last century, the 20th century, to introduce the reforms in Spain, political reforms, social reforms, and reforms especially from the point of view of the mind of people and from the point of view of this European policy. And that is one of the reasons, and that can be surprising perhaps for some people, but it is for the reason that we Catalan nationalists who have tried always to act, and now we are doing that, do act positively in the Spanish policy. Now, for instance, one of the elements, not the only, but one of the most important factors that makes possible the integration of Spain in Europe, and an integration that will be done in a very good way, the integration of Spain in Europe will be done very positively. Well, one of the factors that has been made that possible is just the cooperation, the very loyal and very solid cooperation of the Catalan nationalism. Well, that's what they are, no? Because I come back to the question of the Spanish reformists. In fact, we are doing that for two reasons. One reason is for solidarity, because we believe that in spite of some confrontations that you traditionally, historically, and today have with Spain and with the central idea of Spain, but nevertheless we have a duty of solidarity. Point number one. And point number two is because it is our interest, no? We have always believed that Catalonia could never feel comfortable in Spain until Spain had become a modern and democratic and open society, open to Europe and open to the world. And for this reason, the Catalan nationalism has made this contribution to the modernizing and this introduction of Spain in Europe, and we are glad to have been successful in this effort. Well, that is what I can tell you about Catalonia. I don't know, and about Spain. I don't know if that can be translated to the United Kingdom. It would be very petulant. I would be very petulant if I believe that can be interesting for you. But obviously, that is the only thing that I can explain you, our own experience. No? And our own experience that we have cooperated very much to the transformation of Spain. No? And obviously, and that was the most important scope, to the maintenance of our national Catalan identity. During the last weeks, I have read that in Great Britain, you are discussing about something that it was the first time that I have read something about that, what is the Britishness, no? And I have read that you are defining the Britishness, or the new Britishness. Well, obviously that is not my job to give advices about that, but in any case, I think that this decision to accept this plurinational character of Great Britain with this referendum in Scotland and in Wales, and the courage that it is necessary to have a certain degree of political courage for introduce that in the British politics, I suppose, no? That all that is a good announcement for the fact that this definition that you want to make of Britishness will be very positive. But I repeat, that is not my job. It would be very patronizing to insist about that. But it is true that I think that we, as Catalan nationalists, as defenders of our Catalan identity, but also as defenders of democracy and of modernity and of Europeanization, not only of Catalonia, but of all the state, you have made an important contribution to the progress of Spain as a whole. And obviously, and that is the most important scope for us, that we have made also an important contribution to the respect of our national Catalan identity. I thank you very much.
The floor is now open for questions. If anyone would like to ask a question, I hope, I'm sure there will be questions.
The role of
I think that, for instance, the Assembly of the Regions of Europe has tried to contact the regions of Eastern Europe and of Central Europe before 1989. I remember that in October 1989, just before the fall of the wall, we have organized a great assembly in Vienna, and we have chosen Vienna because, obviously, it was more at this time than today. It was the bridge towards the eastern and the central countries of Europe. No? And we have believed that perhaps at this time we believe that it would be easier to establish these bridges with Eastern and Central Europe through the regions than through the states. The states were very, very rigid. Just before the fall of the wall, they continued to be very rigid. And the regions, it was easier to work with them. Well, we have continued these contacts. For instance, we in Catalonia will receive people of all these countries, of Romania, for instance, and for Hungary, or because they need to know what is an administration, a democratic administration. No? Well, we receive several people, several young people, no? And that is also made by several regions in Europe. No? Well, in any case, I believe that the regionalization of some of these countries would be positive. But today, it is not very easy, because these states in a new situation, more exactly, no, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Poland, Hungary, and so on, are weak in certain sense, and are not sure. They feel not themselves sure, and therefore they are not very open to all these experiences, do you understand? Nevertheless, I will continue to have many contacts with them, and especially we are, through the region of these countries, we are trying to introduce some of our ideas and especially some of our knowledge about, for instance, about administration. But I think that regionalization in these countries will be a very slow process, because I repeat, these states, for instance, the Czech Republic, for instance, after the secession of Slovakia, you know, there is a reluctance against all that, you understand, no? And then some of these countries are very small. Estonia, it is difficult to introduce regions in Estonia, because Estonia is 1.5 million. We are 6 million, for instance. No? 1.5 million, it is difficult, no? But nevertheless, we are working in this direction. Obviously, we are favorable to the enlargement. We are favorable to enlargement. But that is not only a regional question. No? That is more a political point of view. We believe that politically and morally, both politically and from the point of view of our moral duties, we must try to enlarge the European Union. It will be difficult. It will be very difficult, as you know, but in any case, I personally must tell you that we are favorable. Excuse me, I am a bit deaf.
And sometimes I don't understand, not only deaf. But in this case, I was deaf. Well, obviously, when I explain it, that we have three pillars. In fact, we have four pillars. Three pillars of European Union, states, regions, and local powers. Which are not the same thing as regions, local powers. No? And from this point of view, for instance, in our case, in Catalonia, no? I think that the development of the regional policy has been very strong. Yeah? But it is true that we have received a great support, and we have given a great support to the development of the cities. Obviously, we have a very impressive example, that is Barcelona. And probably, if you have visited Barcelona during the last years, you have seen that a great change took place in the city. You know? Obviously, I am not neutral when you speak about Barcelona. I am not neutral. No? But I think that it has been a very impressive and positive change, and that is today it is a very interesting city. Well, but in the other cities of Catalonia, no, in the other small cities of Catalonia, we have had more or less the same change. Obviously, not so impressive as in the case of Barcelona, because it is a great city, and then because Barcelona has had the Olympic Games. No? But now we have more or less had the same city. If we want to have this balance of power, not only between the government and the parliament, no? Balance of power also from the point of view of the territory, no? For instance. No? We must develop the small cities and the villages, and we must create a balance. No? And we are working in this sense, and I think I am rather proud about that, what we have made in Catalonia, especially with the contribution of the cities, the mayors, and so on. And the example of Barcelona is especially impressive.
I have one question.
In your speech, you've been stressing the deep root history of Catalonian independence. And a couple of times, you've always been referring to Euskadi, to the Basque Country. My question is, do you think there is any specific historical reason for why do you think understanding the difference at least leads to any indication to how solving data problem now?
Well, no. It is a pity, but I cannot give you advice about that. No. I don't know what is the deep reason of the violence in the Basque Country, no? But in fact, you know that the Basque Country has a home rule which is better than our home rule, no? than the home rule of Catalonia. For a reason, for several reasons, probably, but also for the same reason that perhaps will produce the fact that Scotland will very soon have a better home rule than Catalonia, because the Basque Country, in fact, has never lost, or never at least never completely lost, their wars in Spain. Even when they lost, or you lost, you are past, no?
No.
I mean, I'm not past. They lost, they have been able to not to lose completely and to save the essential, no? And for this reason, at the moment of the devolution, in 77, 78, they could connect with this traditional institutions that they had never lost. In Scotland, it happens, I think, I don't know exactly, but I think that happens somewhat, but is rather similar, because they lost their political power. The Scots lost their political power. But that what was done in Scotland was done through the Secretary for Scotland. There was a power for the application of the laws and for education, for instance, in Scotland. This power was not nominated by a Scottish Parliament, but by Westminster and by the British government. But in fact, there was a specific body for Scotland. Now, this specific body will be transferred directly and completely to the Scottish Parliament. Well, and that is a great difference with the case of Catalonia. We, unfortunately for us, we have lost all our wars in Spain, absolutely all, no? And therefore, probably because for Spain, we were much more dangerous than the Basque Country, because we are 6 million, more than 6 million. We are very closely connected with France. The French armies, when during the wars with Spain, they entered in Spain through Catalonia, obviously, and so on, and so on, and so on. And for the reason, perhaps, the fact is that the Spaniards have been much more aware about what happened in Catalonia than, for instance, in Portugal. No? We have made an uprising against Spain together, Portugal and Spain, Portugal and Catalonia. And the Spaniards, they have only struggled against us. They have abandoned Portugal during 18 years, and after 18 years, when they were consolidated and the British army was also consolidated in Portugal, they have tried to recover Portugal. It was too late. So, well, in any case, for all these reasons, the Basques have been able to save their institutions, and they have a better homebrew. Obviously, Catalonia is working better now. For a reason, because we have not violence. And violence is also the worst thing for the evolution and for progress of a country. But the home rule is better. No? In spite of that, there is violence. Why? I don't know. And second, it would not be prudent. If he would know, it would not be prudent to explain that. Yes, disadvantageous for us. Yes, for us. Because we have a consciousness of our identity. We will speak to you on another way, no? For instance, I remember that at the beginning of the regionalization, I spoke with people of several Spanish regions, and they said, we want not to be autonomous. We want not. But we are obliged. No? Well, if we must be work at the same level of people who wanted not the autonomy, and we yes, that means that the level of the regionalization, the level of autonomies will be lower. Understand? And when we speak about this power, this capacity to protect competence. This competence, wow. Well, no. When we claim for this competence, for instance, no, we are struggling for this competence, and in fact, the central government says, well, we cannot give you this competence because we will be obliged to give this competence to the 17. Autonomies, and that is not possible because that would be the state would break. You are right. It is it is it is it is true that you are right, that, but we cannot do that because there are 17 autonomies. For instance, Great Britain probably can give to Scotland many things because the Westminster and the government will give that only to Scotland. But if they would be obliged to give that to Scotland, Sussex, Essex, Midlands, and so on, Cornwall, and so on, then in this case it would not be possible. Do you understand that, no? It have lower the level.
There's only one more question.
As Italian? You're Italian. Da dove? From where are you? Milanese. No, no, I'm the only language that I speak well is Catalan. Therefore you can speak all the other languages. We have not spoken about the Lega Nord party. No, you have understood that you have wrong questions. No. You know, you have tried to have no relationship with the Lega Nord, because all these points have tried to give a definition of our Catalan national movement, which are not exactly the points, characteristics of the Lega Nord. For this reason, we have tried always to have no relationship with them. No? But what is true that in Italy you have always you speak about the, well, Questione Meridionale, no, the southern problem. No? But you have a northern problem. You have also, not today, no, since many, many years, you have a northern problem. And this northern problem is a real problem, and this is the problem that has made possible the growth and the strength of the Lega Nord. No? And you, the Italians, you, point number one, in Italy, you have begun to speak seriously about the regions just after the eruption of Bossi, not before, after Bossi. That means that Bossi was right in the sense of the diagnosis of the situation. But point number one. Point number two, the Italians say, Bozzi e pazzo. Bozzi e pazzo. Bossi is mad. Perhaps Bossi is mad, perhaps. In any case, I repeat, only after Bossi, the La Bicamerale, for instance, the Parliament, the Senate, and so on, has begun to speak about religion. But the question important is that you are of Milano. No? Milano is one of the most serious cities, the most industrial cities, the most advanced cities, the most progressive cities of Italy. Obviously, no? Why? 24% of the Milanese, of the people of Milano, have voted Bossi. 24%. And this the Milanese non so no, they are not men. Non sono pazzi. 24. And in the Veneto, Verona, Treviso, Padova, Vicenza, in Ludinese, Udine, 30% of people, and these are the most today, more than the Bergamaschi and the Bresciani in Milanese. So they are the people that work more and more. And the progress, the transformation in only 30, 40 years of this country that was underdeveloped, as you know, northeast of Italy, that is very impressive. These people are not Pazzi, they are not mad. And 30% of these people have voted Bossi. That means that perhaps Bossi is mad, but the problem is real. And the problem must be resolved. Probably not by Bossi, but by Italy. Italy must establish to resolve this problem. But in this sense, I think that, I repeat, only after Bossi in Italy, the discussion about vision has been serious and more or less deep. But on the other side, you have seen we are pro-European, we are moderate, we are reformist, we are middle class. Bossi is also middle class minded. And therefore, we are at that question. And probably, I know that you have had in northern Italy, Milano, and a very splendid history in the Middle Age with the cities, with the local powers, the Lega, the Lega Lombarda against the German emperors and so on. I know that very well. But the roots of the Catalan identity, the language, the culture, not a better culture than in Milano, but a distinct culture than the Spanish culture. And in fact, the very, very, very good, very important culture of Milano is an Italian culture. And another difference, we have more or less suffered the Spanish unity. Excuse me, Ambassador. We have more suffered. They have explained that the unity has been made through wars that we have lost. On the contrary, northern Italy, Torino, Milano, they have created the unity of Italy. Absolutely a different case, you understand? Was sufficient? Well.
I'm afraid I think there we have to draw to a close. Can I ask everyone to stay in their seats until President Pujol leaves? And can I again thank him for being so good as to come to the LSE to respond in such a lively and protracted way to questions, and for delivering such a profound and stimulating speech of great relevance to our problems in this country. Thank you very, very much.